Well, good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry KB, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Friday, October the 4th, 2019, and this is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're at Chapter 5, page 59, in How It Works, starting with the first paragraph, beginning with, half measures availed us nothing, and it ends with complete abandonment. We're going to read that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Gracie D. for the 12 steps, Des M. for the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Don B., Julie E. B., and Jordan L. And our newcomer greeter today is Janice P. M., and Reggie O. will do our announcements this morning. The share ID for yesterday, Thursday, October 3rd, 2019, our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,477. That's 13477. And the share ID for our meeting this morning, Friday, our 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting for October 4th, 2019, is 13,480. That's 13480. The OA Preemblem, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Gracie D. to read our 12 steps of OA. Gracie?
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is Gracie D., the 12 steps. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could return us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 11, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Gracie D. And now Des M. will read our 12 traditions. Des?
Hi, this is Des M., recovered compulsive overeater from California, and these are the 12 traditions of OA. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should remain autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you, Desmond, for your service this morning. And how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for the recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except for the speakers should be muted. And that includes, please don't use your mute button on your phone. Just use star 1 to mute and star 1 to unmute. That would be awesome. We'd appreciate it. That way we have a nice quiet meeting. Okay, so today we're going to resume our study of the Big Book on page 59 in the chapter How It Works. We're going to be reading on the first paragraph, Half Measures Availed Us Nothing. And Don B., would you please start reading?
Good morning. This is Dawn B., recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. That's a fantastic paragraph. And to me, it echoes what is said earlier in the book on page 25, where it states, if you are a serious alcoholic, in our case, compulsive overeater, as we were, we believe there is no middle of the road solution. We were in a position where life was becoming impossible, and if we had passed into the region from which there was no return through human aid, we had but two alternatives. One was to go on to the bitter end, blotting out the consciousness of our intolerable situation as best we could, and the other was to accept spiritual help. This we did because we honestly wanted to, and we were willing to make the effort. So here we come to a turning point. We come to, and I looked up the word turning point in the dictionary, and that means a point at which significant change occurs, a moment when the course of events is changed, a point at which there is a change in direction. So to me, this paragraph means that it starts off, half measures availed us nothing. So kind of doing the program doesn't really work at all. I actually tried kind of doing the program for decades and failed miserably and was not able to get abstinent, was not able to get the full benefit of the steps. And then when I finally realized that I can either go on to early death and a miserable life until then, just surviving, just struggling, or I can accept spiritual help. And I finally put down the food. And that was a beautiful event. And then I went through the steps as quickly as I could and got an amazing benefit out of the steps. And here we are asked to do the same. This is right before the steps are going to be presented. So we're asked to realize that putting down the food, kind of, putting down some of our alcoholic substances, not all of them, is not going to work. It's going to avail us nothing. And we are given the point at which we now can have a drastic change in the direction of our lives by receiving and working these steps like our hair is on fire after we've put down the food. And then we ask his protection and care with complete abandon. So to me, that means that what I am doing on a moment-by-moment basis is I am asking not for my will to be done, but I'm asking for the will of my higher power to be done. And so I'm no longer trying to look outside of myself and force people and situations and circumstances to try to get them to do my what I think they need to do. I am now looking for my higher power and asking, what is your will?
Time.
And whatever it is, God, I accept it. So may each of us today just put down the food and go for it with complete abandon. And miraculous things will truly happen as they have for me. Thank you. And I pass.
And thank you, Dawn B., for getting us started. So again, I want to remind everybody we're in Chapter 5, How It Works, on page 59, the first paragraph. Starting with half measures avail us nothing. We're reading that one paragraph only. Who would like to share?
Penny
Bruce
L. Julie E.B.
Okay, I heard Bruce B.
E.
Julie
Penny
L. E. I think, did I hear Donna B.?
Yes.
Gotcha, Donna.
Christina
Penny
J.
Christina J. And who is that? There was a little bit of a soft voice there.
Penny L. C.
Penny. Penny L. C. Excellent. Okay. All right, so we have Bruce E., Julie E.B., Donna B., Christina J., and Penny L.C. Go ahead, Bruce E., and you'll be followed by Julie E.B. Bruce, good morning.
Well, good morning. Here we go with the Iceman Show. So this is Bruce E. I'm recovering in North Carolina. And I was looking at this before the meeting this morning, and I wasn't sure if we're going to be reading the steps or the half measures, and I'm really happy we're reading this paragraph, although it should be fun to read the steps. I guess that's coming up Monday. Anyway, half measures. Well, you know, what's a half measure? Was a half measure when I used to eat half a birthday cake, but it had sugar-free stuff in it? You know, that was less than a half measure, wasn't it? That wasn't even a half measure. I can't even remember hardly any. I guess half measures is doing things and not having my heart in it. You know, just doing the motions and doing it that way. Or trying to figure out how much of this can I eat and not gain weight or still put it down on my food plan as abstinence. That's probably a half measure. So, man, I've done half measures. I've had years of half measures. And so that's the way I used to choose to live. I'm not living that way now. I choose to live in abstinence and be on a food plan and be honest and report it to my sponsor. That's what that comes down to being. That gets rid of the half measures. We stood at the turning point. Now, that I've always thought when I saw that, I stood at the turning point like I'm at the top of a mountain. And I'm going to turn and go this direction or that direction. Am I going to choose to go the right way or am I going to choose to go the wrong way? You know, so that's what I see as a, you know, and I guess every day is sort of a turning point, you know, if I look at it that way. But the turning point is which way am I going to go, you know, and am I going to go into recovery? Or am I going to go into all that dishonesty and lying and all the, you know, all that kind of stuff, trying to kid myself, lie to my higher power? So we asked his protection and care with a complete abandon. So asking his care and protection. All right. So that means giving up myself. Giving up the selfishness, self-centeredness, self-seekingness, all of that, giving that up and saying, okay, God, man, I can't take care of myself. You know, I can't protect myself. You're going to have to do this. And I'm really not just saying it, but really given up, you know, complete abandon. You know, that to me means totally giving up, you know, letting go and letting God. Yeah, so thank you, and I pass.
And thank you, Bruce E. And Julie E.B., you're up, followed by Donna B. Julie, good morning.
Good morning. This is Julie E., gratefully recovered. This was the place, this prayer I think is mostly underused prayer in the big book. This prayer is where I had my spiritual awakening. This is where everything came together for me. You know, bottom of page 24, no middle of the road solutions, but here, half measures availed us nothing, same thing. But what was stopping me? What was keeping me half in, half out? So I looked up the words for this prayer. We, that is all of us here on the line together, we're in this together. We asked to inquire. I had to inquire to see what kind of God was out there and ask for God's, my higher power, it's his, but I call my higher power God or higher power. But what kind of higher power do I need? This is what really opened an entire world and has led to the life I lead today. Care, the provision of everything I need for my health, welfare, and maintenance of my spiritual condition and protection, prevention, and injury and harm. And I'll tell you this, I grew up in a situation where there wasn't much care or protection, and I learned one thing, I would have to care for and protect myself. And that drove me into self-will. I started this disease when I was 12 years old. By 16, I was running 100 miles a week, and I thought that exercise, controlling my weight, and eating everything in sight would give me that food, would give me the care and protection. I would have these seconds of care and protection that I had never gotten anywhere else. And then I looked to other people, places, and things. I was going to be married, and that would be it. A job would be it. My kids would be it for me. Imagine the pressure as I made them my God. And so here's where I had to face the fact that I had an idea of a higher power, but it did not offer me care and protection, the provision of everything I need for my health, welfare, and maintenance of my condition. This word care is in the third step, and you're not ready for the third step if you still have that lower power voice as the most convincing voice. I mean, yeah, you can move to the third step. You can seek, but continue to seek a caring higher power, because my lower power, my inner voice, is so mean. And then I looked it up, and it said with complete, and this was where I had my awakening. Complete in the dictionary means full, and I was full so often, but I was not full of abandon. So now today I say full, not of the food, not of self-will, but full of abandon. What does abandon mean? It means to give up completely, having run one's course. And here's the experience, strength, and hope I can share if you're still suffering. Every single time I run my course, and my higher power lets me, because my higher power is one of care and protection. Every time, whether it's with food or in this case with a character defect, every time I run my course, my higher power is there, restoring me to sanity. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Donna B., you're up, followed by Christina J. Good morning, Donna B.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling in from Denver. And thank you so much for all of the previous shares that really resonated with me. Thank you. I'm looking at this paragraph this morning from the perspective of a person in relapse or a person who's struggling. And the sentence, half measures availed us nothing, is a strong sentence. It does say that making, you know, as many people often say, putting 75 cents into a vending machine will get you absolutely nothing if the cost of the product is a dollar. But I also want to say that this is not meant to be a punishing sentence or a sentence in which we can beat ourselves up by saying, obviously, if I have nothing, my efforts have not been good enough. I haven't worked hard enough. I haven't tried hard enough. I haven't done the right things. I'm a failure at this program. I'll never get it. You know, I was definitely in that position. And I think for me, when I have the ability to treat myself with gentleness and care and reflect back on my past prior to entire abstinence, it wasn't that I was bad or doing something wrong or not doing something enough. I just wasn't ready. And I don't know how to create readiness in myself or in others. It really is a miraculous experience. And so although half measures avail us nothing, there is something to be said for continuing to come back, for continuing to listen, for continuing to seek hope amongst those who are recovered, to keep asking questions, to keep searching diligently. So I just want to carry the message that although that sentence is a strong one, it is not a punishing one. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna B. And Christina J., you're up, followed by Penny L.C. Christina, good morning.
Good morning, everyone, once again. Christina J. in the state of Washington, up near the Canadian border, and grateful to be here. And if you're listening back into these meetings, I just want to encourage you to try to listen live. For some reason, there's something about the live meetings that's just electric. I've gotten addicted to them, and not in a bad way. Anyway, half measures avail us nothing. What does that mean to me? As I look back and reflect, I've always had a strong self-will, and I could do anything with control and figure things out and all that. And so when I got into program and I was taught that it was okay to eat while working the steps, I didn't know that was a half measure, but I wasn't getting any results. And I was sitting there doing questions for hours on OA questions and sitting in my chair at night just analyzing the past ad nauseum, and I just couldn't find that abstinence. I did manage to find a white-knuckled absence for a year and a half. I tasted what physical absence would be like and then got back into the food, finally found vision and heard this word recovered. And when we got to this part, I still didn't get it, the first few listens on vision. I didn't realize I was still letting my self-will run my life. My sponsor gave me instructions to call people and to get my food plan lined out, but I would sneak. You know, I wouldn't call. I'd say I was lying. I had self-will. Well, I'm going to do it my way. Little did I know how much I was hurting myself. It didn't avail me anything. I ended up in relapse after relapse. So this is a wonderful sort of paragraph for the newcomer or the relapser. Half measures will get us nothing. And if you experience that enough, you realize it. But for the newcomer, like a child that's still touching the hot stove and not realizing it's going to hurt him, take the advice of all these recovered people. Dive in. And don't go to half measures. Really look at where you might be playing around with the instructions from your sponsor. My turning point was at the road of go back to relapsing or dive in and give it everything I had, and realize that I was building a new life. I was building a new house that I was going to live in. And I couldn't build it on sand. Oh, I'm gonna be cheap. I'm gonna buy sand for this foundation, and it's gonna work because I just know it will because it's cheaper, and this is all I can afford. Don't skimp out on the instructions of your sponsor. Build that house solid from the start, and you may not have the white light coming in right away or the spiritual awakening, but guess what? It's coming, and it will come. And you will be asking for his protection and care every day with complete abandon, even if you don't know who that higher power is yet. Build that house strong from the start. Just go through the steps and just do it, and you'll come to that point. And, yes, it's an up-and-down journey, and it's not extremely easy at times, but the gifts are enormous, and no one could explain it to me while I was doing the steps, how they got to that place of having their wild dreams come true. Thank you. I'll finish up. But it happens. It happens. Trust the process. Thank you for letting me share my pass.
Well, thank you, Christina J. And before we hear from Penny L.C. this morning, just want to remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 59, the first paragraph. Half measures availed us nothing. We're commenting on that one paragraph only. So as soon as Penny LC shares, I'll take some more names. Penny, good morning.
Good morning, Sherry, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny LC, a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. When I read this paragraph, I remember that I had a sponsor that offered me the idea that even if half measures availed me half, what would I have? I'd have half the powerlessness. Well, if I'm half powerless, I'm still powerless. I'd have half the unmanageability. Well, if it's half unmanageable, it's still unmanageable. So even half measures availing me half won't get me anywhere. I've got to be willing to completely commit myself 100%. And to what? Well, the paragraph before that is pointing me to the one with all power and with the ability to help me manage my life. And that one is my higher power. So that's what I'm needing to seek with full measure. Is my higher power. And so here I am, led to a turning point. And I have a choice. Am I going to choose my higher power or am I going to choose my disease? And you know, my higher power is gracious, always has given me the power of choice. I have the choice in cases. But in this case, I get to choose. If I choose to pray and I choose to ask for this higher power's protection and care, it is there for me. I just need to ask. With complete abandon, with complete lack of inhibition or restraint, I need to be all in, 100% believing that this power, greater than myself, can and will restore me to sanity. As long as I'm doing the work, staying connected, willing to fully trust and rely on that higher power, then amazing things happen. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Penny LC. So now, just reminding you, we're on page 59, paragraph 1. Who would like to share?
Irene B.
I have Irene B.
Beatrice O.
Beatrice O.
Robin B.
Was that Robin B as in boy?
Boy.
Gotcha. Thanks, Robin.
Marilyn T.
Marilyn T.
That's Jordan L.
Jordan L. And I can take one more. Jump in, the water's warm.
Kathy W.
Kathy W. All right. So I have Irene B., Beatrice O., Robin B., Marilyn T., Jordan L., and Kathy W. Irene B., you're up, followed by Beatrice O. Good morning, Irene.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. Half measures availed us nothing. Well, half measures of what? For me, half measures meant clarity. I'm going to share that last night I went to dinner with one of my best friends. She's a therapist. And I was just ranting and raving that after 30 therapists, $1 million worth of therapy, even though I told my story to the best of my ability, no one ever said, you're a product of trauma. Nobody ever asked any questions, and saw that I have a certain level of PTSD. Nobody ever saw that I was an adult child of dysfunction. And that I was completely disassociated from myself, from my feelings, because I used food to cover up my feelings and to run away from life starting at age 6. And we know that this disease is progressive, cunning, and baffling, and patient, but most importantly, progressive. So as the years went by, my ability to disassociate just got better and better and better, to the point that by the time I was in my late 20s, when I first went to therapy, I had no idea who I was or how I felt. And I was completely an intellectual. And I guess I function at such a good level that people, therapists, professionals, were not able to see how truly sick I was. I mean, they knew I was suicidal. They knew I was bulimic. But, and they knew that there were root causes in there, but they could never get to there. But I was told that until I was out of the food, I was not going to be able to get in touch with my feelings. I am 2.5 years abstinent today, exactly. And I am just thrilled at the freedom that that gives me. And I want to uncover, discover, and discard, but I couldn't do it without the help of the program and abstinence, and I guess I'm going to have to pass. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you, Ryan B. Beatrice O., you're up, followed by Robin B. Beatrice, good morning.
Good morning. This is Beatrice. Can I be heard? This is Beatrice. Can I be heard?
I can hear you now, Beatrice. Yes, go ahead, please.
Okay, this is Beatrice from Northern California recovering, and I really like this paragraph about half measures because I've done that a lot, and maybe I needed to do it because there were certain parts of me that I wasn't willing to turn over to God. You know, I only wanted to turn over to God what I was really willing to let go of. Of course, I wanted to let go of the food, but I wanted to keep certain things. I wanted to manage my career. I wanted to manage my children. And I was always looking back. And I just want to piggyback on what someone said about trauma and PTSD and all that stuff. I just kind of felt that we all have issues. I think if you have a belly button and you're human, you probably have some issues. Nobody comes into this program perfect. And so here we get an opportunity to let go and let God and abandon ourselves to God. And that has, over the years, has taken some time. And those half measures sent me back to the food. But at the same time, I also had to abandon some of those bedevilments that kept me sick. And I also had to stop looking back. I had to stop looking back, and I had to let go of guilt, and I had to stop going to God with all my guilt and shame. I had to really let go. There's a story in the Good Book about this guy, and his name is Lot, and his wife are going through the desert, and they're saying, hey, don't look back, or you'll turn into stone. I think there's a movie about it. And she won't let go, and And they said, if you look back, you're going to turn to stone and you'll stay out here in the desert. And so I did a lot of that. I looked back and I was always looking back and I was always feeling guilt. So for me, abandonment means all of me. I remember, I don't know where the voice came from, but it said, I want all of you, including your children, your job, everything, my soul. So that is what complete abandon means to me, because everything else, I won't be tempted. It's not addiction switching. It means complete abandon. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Beatrice O. Robin B., you're up, followed by Marilyn T. Robin, good morning.
Hi, this is Robin B. Glad to be here. This past few weeks, but this last week especially, I've been out of town, away from home, taking care of an elderly person who's recovering from a serious illness. And so I was really putting all my energy into that and not really taking care of myself like I should or would like to. And I find it so wonderfully interesting that my higher power, you know, I just got home last night. And so I get up this morning, I'm like, look at the clock. I'm like, ooh, I can get on the meeting. And here it is, this teeny tiny little paragraph. And the first sentence is, half measures availed us nothing. And today is day 61 of my new food lifestyle abstinence. And, you know, I knew I could do better, quote unquote, better. But, you know, I found a restaurant that was all organic and all the food was on my plan and yay. But there was always an opportunity to finagle and use my fatigue as an excuse to make adjustments. And that I see now as I'm home and I have my fresh food and I'm just like so happy to be home. And it's not permanent. I have to go back next week. But half measures, you know, when I gave up half measures this week, I felt stronger, more energy, more confidence, and thought, okay, I can do this. It's hard, but I can do this. And I meant hard in, I wasn't even thinking about my taking care of myself. I was thinking about taking care of this difficult elderly person in my life. And, but, you know, I saw little things like not enough sleep, and if I got lazy about my food, that all added up and it affected me. And so I got really sick the night before my last day. And I knew it was because of the food that I had eaten. And that was my half measure. That was my half measure. It was my higher power's way of going, what's this getting you? You need to let this go. And you need to take that extra step and be committed to your recovery.
Hi.
And so, okay, thank you. And so anyway, a half measure's availed us nothing. That one sentence is all about it for me today. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Robin B. Marilyn T., you're up, followed by Jordan L. Good morning, Marilyn.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, everyone on the line. This is Marilyn T., a grateful compulsive overeater, working on recovery one day at a time. This just really impacted me. I actually read it yesterday. I've read it today, and for some reason, more meaning came out of it today, although I've got a lot yesterday. So half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point, at a turning point. So I looked up all these definitions while I was listening to everybody talk, and I just really dawned on me how I had led my life before redoing the steps as I'm doing now. So the definition of turning point is a time which a decision, a change in a situation. Sorry, that's the timer that didn't go off the right way. Pardon. So a definition of turning point is a time when a decision or change of situation must occur, especially on a with beneficial results. Abandon, surrender, to give up, to leave, to cease, or be withdrawn, to withdraw from. And then half measures really got me. An action, a policy that is not forceful or decisive enough. A partial, half-hearted, or weak line of action where victory is seldom won by half measures. And that just got me thinking after a couple of people talked, where you choose the disease over a higher power. And I started thinking about how my life was or could be if I continued with half measures. I would be half insane. I would be half recovered. I would be half angry. I would be half happy. I would have half a life. I would be half sad. I would be half grieving, half sadness, and I would be half living. That is really not the way I want to live. And I know in my heart of hearts, that is not what my higher power wants for me. My higher power wants both feet in, all totally committed. He wants total abandon. He wants me to surrender, to give up, to leave, to cease this half living and withdrawing from life. Every day is a day to connect with my higher power. Every day is a day to do self-care. Every day is a day to commit to this program, this food plan, this life, a full life. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Marilyn T. And Jordan L., you're up, followed by Kathy W. Jordan L., star one to unmute, please.
Good morning, Sherry. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Jordan. Thank you.
Awesome. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, soon to get on the road to Denver. grateful to be on the line this morning. This was a very interesting part of the book for me, especially when I was going through my initial step work 2 years ago. I take a third step every morning now. That's kind of my routine in the morning is I work steps 1, 2, and 3 every single day. First thing in the morning, because I'm just a sorry case on my own, human willpower, you know? So anyway, when I initially came in, I had been running on self-will for so long, like just full steam ahead, that I didn't even realize it had never even occurred to me that like care and protection was what I needed, you know? And I don't know, maybe that's because of the messaging that I had received my whole life of, if you want something done, you got to do it yourself. Or if you want something done right, you got to do it yourself. And that was just kind of like it. And it was like, don't depend on anyone else, just depend on you. And push ahead and push ahead and push ahead and just keep pushing. And that had definitely availed me something for sure. But what had happened was it had availed me half living. Kind of like what the last person said is that hit me pretty hard. Yes, I had some semblance of a life, but it wasn't, it was just so far from the things that life is really about, you know? love, kindness, all of that stuff. Like, it was just this life that was about perfection, you know? And I just had this idea that if I could achieve perfection, then I could somehow be happy, you know? So, like, that was kind of what it was. I'll wrap it up. Those were the ideas that I was abandoning. And left without those ideas, I had no direction. I had nowhere to go. So then I was ready to ask for care and protection. That's all I got.
Thank you, Jordan L. And we're going to next hear from Kathy W., and we might have time for one more person to share for 2 minutes. So think about that while Kathy W. is sharing. Good morning, Kathy W.
Good morning. This is Kathy W., compulsive overeater in Denver, Colorado. And I really like this paragraph. It kind of struck me this morning. When I came into program, I kind of was in the mindset that, like, my life can't get any worse. Like, I was very suicidal. I just, like, laid in bed and existed to eat all day. And, I don't know, I just found Overeaters Anonymous. And I was miserable, but, like, it wasn't like I was ready to take any of these steps. I just kind of, like, decided to show up. And, like, as time went on and the fellows have shown me love and have shown me, like, how recovery and, like, an actual life is possible, I realized how, like, in the dark I was and how for my whole life, like, I thought I could do this entirely on my own. And even when I was in the rooms, like, I still thought, like, I could come up with the solution. Like, maybe I'll do another diet, or maybe I'll, like, finally learn how to eat right, or whatever. Half measure was that I still believed that I could do it on my own. And through reading the book and studying the steps and seeing my fellows, I learned, number one, like, I had no idea that it was, like, that I was living in a half measure, that, like, self-well wasn't a thing, that I was sick and that's never going to happen. But also I learned that there is a solution and there's a lot of hope. And I'm so grateful for this program, so grateful for this book, and I'm working really hard. I've been in program for 10 months, and I'm finally able to, like, I don't know, give myself a pat on the back, but I'm working so hard in the steps, and I'm working to, like, stop the half measures. And I'm so glad to have friends and people in program, and I was so excited. Sorry, Crosstalk. Jordan's driving down to Denver because we have an awesome retreat or a convention. And I'm so excited to, like, further engross myself in the program and, like, be at our convention this weekend. And, like, without program, that wouldn't even be a thing. I'd probably be laying in bed binging all weekend. So I'm so grateful for program. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Kathy W., and we have time for about a minute and a half share. Who would like to share?
Laura G., Deborah P.
Laura G., you said?
Clara C.
Laura G., please go ahead, Clara. You got 2 minutes.
Okay,
about
thanks.
About a minute and a half. Thank you, Clara.
Okay. For me, half measures means, like, for an alcoholic, that he would come into the program and give up whiskey but not the beer, or give up whiskey and beer but not the wine, or give up whiskey, beer, and wine, but not the margarita. I mean, half measures means that he will still be drinking alcohol. I, for my OA program, have to give up all my foods that give me the allergy of the body. And then that's to take care of my physical part of the disease. And then for the other part, I have to work all the 12 steps, half measures, if I only get to step 10 and do step 10 every day, that will be also half measures. I need to do the praying. I need to sponsor people. I need to help others. I need to do all of the steps and give up all of my food that are giving me the physical allergy. And so then I could receive the promises of having a joyful life and peaceful and serene, and all of the promises. Thanks. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Clara. Well, that's all the time we have today. What a great meeting, everybody. Thank you so much. Really appreciate all of your shares this morning. What a great meeting. And I want to take the time to thank Team Friday, Gracie D for the 12 Steps, Des M for the 12 Traditions, Don B was our reader this morning, Julie E. B. is going to take us out with page 164, Jordan L. was our backup waiting in the wings, our newcomer greeter is Janice P.M., announcements was Reggio, and Lynn S. got us started by the recording. Thank you, Lynn. And now we will now hear the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Julie E.B. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only and keep you until then. Julie? Star 1 to unmute, please. Julie E.B.?
Hi, Julie? This is Julie E.B.
Good morning, Julie. Go ahead, please.
Gratefully recovered. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you